Peace Women Across the Globe. A podcast about women's contribution to peace building all over the world.
Yo soy Alejandra Miller Restrepo. Bueno, una mujer feminista.
My name is Alejandra Miller Restrepo. I'm a feminist, a militant for peace. I've been a professor at the university, and for more than 20 years now, I've been part of the movement against civil war in Colombia.
Vengo de una región, no de Bogotá, de la capital.
I'm not from the capital, Bogotá, but from the department of Cauca. That's a region that has been one of the most affected from the armed conflict.
Y bueno, ahí empecé a entrar en estos temas de trabajar.
There I became active in the peace movement, namely in the Ruta Pacífica de las Mujeres, where I became working on the question of peace and gender. As a member of the movement, I became involved in supporting women who were victims of armed conflict. I wanted their voices to be heard.
Hace más o menos unos 23 años, 24 años, me invitaron a una gran movilización de mujeres.
It has been about 24 years now since I was invited to a huge gathering of women around the Ruta Pacífica de las Mujeres. The idea was to literally walk through our department that, as I said, was very much affected by the armed conflict. It was mostly women in rural areas who were raped, forced to join the army, and brutalized. And these atrocities were silenced. So we were 3,000 women who entered areas where nobody ever went to, places where not even the government dared to go. It was important for us to tell these women that they are not alone, that we were there, we as women, and that we're aware of what's happening in their lives. We demanded that these women be respected. I think that this huge mobilization definitely changed my life. I didn't choose the path of violence or the path of weapons, but I chose the path of peace. I was convinced, and I'm still convinced, that this is the only way to get out of this very difficult situation.
Construcción de la paz, lo que nos permite efectivamente salir de esta situación tan difícil.
Para que se deshaga la guerra y las violencias como expresiones del poder contra las mujeres, desde la denuncia sobre los efectos.
Después fui coordinadora del movimiento hasta hace un año que empecé a ser parte de la Comisión de la Verdad.
Later, I became the coordinator of the movement, and I was elected a few years ago as a member of the Comisión de la Verdad, the Truth Commission. When you live in a situation in which every second you might be hit by a bullet, or a bomb might explode next to you, or you might be hijacked, well, I think when you live through all this, your priority in life changed dramatically. It also means that you really long for the end of violence. When you have experienced this kind of violence in the place you live, your perspective differs quite a lot from those people who were lucky enough to live in a safe and secure city. But this is what makes us more determined in our fight. And it also means that we have a deeper understanding of what peace really means. If you have experienced war and destruction, this enables you to know what it means to live in peace. This is the sensitivity we have. It's the sensitivity of those who have lived in a region of conflict.
La paz. Porque cuando has vivido la guerra, puedes hablar de la importancia de lo que es la paz. Y yo creo que esa es la sensibilidad con la que crecemos quienes hemos vivido en estos lugares de guerra y de conflicto. Un altísimo porcentaje de las familias colombianas han sido afectadas por el conflicto armado en distintas formas, unas más cercanas, otras.
A very large number of Colombian families have been affected by the conflict. Some more, some less. Our family was no exception. My mother's two younger brothers disappeared. One was taken by a paramilitary group. We still don't know who took the second brother. So I think, yes, the fact of being directly affected by the conflict means that you have a higher level of consciousness. As far as my two uncles go, we still couldn't find them. All I know is that one of the paramilitary soldiers confessed to the fact-finding mission of the Colombian government that he had killed my uncle. and that his body was thrown in the river, so that any further search for him would be pointless. I still don't know what happened to my second uncle.
Y que no lo buscaran más, pues porque era imposible encontrarlo. Y el otro hermano sí no ha sido encontrado, o sea, siguen desaparecidos.
Las tumbas, el desplazamiento forzado y el miedo.
El cuerpo de las mujeres no es botín de guerra.
Colombia es un país que ha vivido durante más de 50 años en guerra, en conflicto armado. Y hemos tenido algunos momentos muy importantes. En la década de los 90 hubo la desmovilización, la dejación de armas de varios grupos.
Colombia is a country that has lived with armed conflict for the last 50 years. But there have been some important changes too. First, the mobilization of the guerrilla in the 90s was achieved. But the most important change certainly took place a decade ago, when the largest guerrilla group, the Fuerzas Revolucionarias Colombianas, the FARC, decided to engage in a peace-building process when President Juan Manuel Santos was in power. This process ended in 2016 with a remarkable outcome, the signature of a peace agreement, an agreement that acknowledged the structural causes of the armed conflict, an agreement that was a source of hope for Colombia. Unfortunately, this spirit of hope has now diminished as we see the emergence of new political forces in my country, with a new government that is determined to discreetly dismantle the peace process. At the same time, I must say that post-conflict periods are generally difficult, so setbacks are common. That's why shooting and fighting is not over, despite the fact that almost all the faction of the FARC have renounced violence. We still have other small and active terrorist groups that make it difficult to implement the peace process, but well, we are obstinate. We are pursuing our struggle, and a part of this is the Truth Commission, the Comisión de la Verdad.
Pero bueno, somos tercos y ahí seguimos y creemos que el acuerdo trae otras cosas muy importantes que sí estamos trabajando, como la Comisión de la Verdad. En el punto 5 de los acuerdos de paz firmados con las FARC en La Habana, aparece, se llama el punto de las víctimas, de los derechos de las víctimas, y se crea una nueva institucionalidad.
Paragraph 5 of the agreement signed in La Habana explicitly mentions the victim of the conflict. The agreement also provides for the establishment of three new institutions. First, a special jurisdiction for the peace process. A court responsible for trying and sentencing those responsible for the crimes. Second, a special unit in charge of locating the disappeared. Remember that in Colombia, more than 80,000 persons have been disappeared by force. This must count as a brutal humanitarian drama. The task of the special unit is to help the families deal with the loss of their loved ones and learn everything about the circumstances of their disappearance. The third new institution is the Comisión de la Verdad, the Truth Commission. Our task is to deliver a report for all Colombians within the next 3 years. This report will give insight into the causes and the impact of the armed conflict. Almost 9 million people have been affected. So our endeavor is to explain to the Colombian people what really happened in the last 50 years of conflict, what happened to our society, why it happened, and who is to be held responsible in this very long story of violence and pain. This is our task, to tell the truth. We're going to tell the story through the voices of the victims. On the one hand, we are recording the stories of all those affected by the conflict. On the other hand, we're gathering available facts about the civil war, meaning collecting articles, books, documents we find in universities, archives, institutions, and so on. On this basis, we hope to be able to write a report that explains the causes of the conflict. And we hope that this can be an important source of reconciliation. You know, you can't talk about reconciliation, and you can't make steps towards reconciliation if you don't find the truth. We've seen peace processes fail in other countries, so our aim is to find the profound and perhaps painful truth, a truth that would help us not to repeat the same story, again and again.
Eso es una reconciliación de mentiras. Lo hemos visto en otros países del mundo. Y nuestra aspiración, por supuesto, es un informe que muestra una verdad profunda, que duele seguramente, pero que nos ayudará a seguir hacia adelante para no repetir esta historia.
Que es víctima del silencio.
Bueno, yo creo que viene de una profunda militancia en el feminismo.
My commitment is deeply rooted in feminism and in an understanding of what has been the most significant revolution of the past years, the revolution of women. So I am convinced that pacifism has to be a strategy not only for Colombia, but for the world.
Para Colombia y para el mundo. Yo creo que fue una cosa muy heredada de mi madre, pero sin que ella lo denominara de esa manera. Yo creo que mi madre siempre ha sido una mujer feminista y pacifista sin decirlo así.
I think I inherited this conviction from my mother, who has always been a peace worker and a feminist, without calling it by the name. But I remember that as a child, I always heard my mother talk about women's rights, about the necessity of peace building.
Cuando a uno le toca la guerra y el conflicto, mi madre tiene dos hermanos, dos tíos míos, dos hermanos.
And I think when you're so directly confronted with violence as my mother was, with the disappearance of her two brothers, you start reflecting on what it means to bring this conflict to an end.
Pues eso te pone a pensar en la necesidad urgente de terminar con eso y de avanzar para que otras personas no sientan lo que nuestras familias han vivido con el conflicto. Bueno, mira, nosotras en la comisión somos 11 personas, 6 hombres y 5 mujeres. Nuestro presidente es un sacerdote.
The commission has 11 members, 5 women and 6 men. The president of the commission is a priest, the Jesuit Francisco de Roo, who is a militant for human rights in Colombia. I became a member of this commission after a long selection process. I was nominated to become a member by the women's movement, and I was then selected by a highly qualified committee in a transparent and open procedure.
A mí me postula el movimiento de mujeres. Mi mayor motivación, por supuesto, en esta comisión de la verdad es hacer visibles y audibles.
My main motivation to work in this commission is to make visible the sufferings of women in armed conflict, to show and express the impact of violence on their bodies and in their lives. But it's not only the victimization of women, it's also about their stories of resistance, their stories of peace building, and the reconstruction of the social fabric that was so deeply damaged in this armed conflict.
No solamente las mujeres, sino también la población.
I also want to draw attention to the lesbian and gay community in Colombia, since the LGBT community was deeply hurt and their voices always silenced.
En toda esta narrativa de lo que ha sido la guerra. En muchos territorios los actores armados ejercían una violencia que llamaban correctiva. Paramilitares especialmente, pero de todo.
In many regions, the perpetrators, mainly paramilitary groups and some others, applied what they called corrective measures. This meant that members of the LGBT communities were raped. And this was meant as a punishment in order to destroy their sexual orientation. Gay men were especially raped with this perverse justification. And this is why the commission is also working on the basis of psychosocial interventions.
Para que enderezaran, entre comillas, su camino, muchos hombres gays fueron violados por la misma razón. Por eso la Comisión de la Verdad también está trabajando desde un enfoque psicosocial, porque sabemos que hablar del dolor, pues duele, por supuesto.
We have to talk a lot about the pain and the suffering. It hurts to talk about all this, of course, but we can't avoid that. But all the teams receive thorough training so that the stories that they're gathering can become a healing factor for the victims. This has to do with the way you listen, how you talk to the victims. It has to do with respect. It has to do with giving the person you're interviewing the assurance that she or he is heard with dignity. So the training also implies the building of trust. Victims have to trust the members of the commission when they tell their stories, and they must know that the commission is a safe place to speak. Every person must be given the certainty that what they are recounting makes sense and that the pain they suffer when they remember what really happened to them is meaningful.
Que van a sentir cuando narren su historia tenga un sentido. Nosotros creemos que, bueno, la comisión va a trabajar con víctimas y está trabajando con víctimas de distintos lugares.
The commission works with the victims, and we have victims on very different sides. We talk to those who were members of a terrorist organization, a paramilitary group, or the military. We talk to businessmen, farmers, peasants, or indigenous groups. We start from the assumption that every group has its own structured and preformed memory. So every faction will tell a different story, and the commission has the obligation to listen to them all. To men and women on different sides.
Tiene que escucharlas y tiene la obligación de escucharlas a todas. Nuestra aspiración es poder recoger entre 16,000 y 20,000 testimonios de víctimas del conflicto armado en este primer año y medio. Nosotros no vamos a poder hacer esclarecimiento.
Our aim is to collect between 16,000 and 22,000 testimonials. This means that we will not collect all the memories of the almost 9 million people affected. Also, we will not be able to find out why single individuals, a son or a daughter or any other family member, have disappeared. But we fervently hope that by collecting testimonials of as many victims as possible, we will be able to draw up a kind of pattern of the conflict. So we will not be able to bring light to each of the personal stories and atrocities, but we hope to give a clear idea of what this conflict is about, what the driving forces behind it were, and so that everyone can identify with the stories being told.
Vamos a tener esos relatos, podamos ir sacando unos patrones que nos ayuden a explicar algo colectivo y general. Esa, digamos, es un poco la metodología con la que vamos a abordar. Y nosotros creemos que efectivamente la gente quiere saber.
We are talking of multiple truth and of a basic pattern in this conflict. This is the methodology we're using. We believe that people want to know the truth, and truth will foster understanding of what happened to us.
Y por esa vía ayuda a que esto no se repita. No queremos hablar de las mujeres y de la población LGBT solamente como.
We believe that this process will be decisive for a new society that will never let it happen again. But we do not only want to retrieve stories of violence and despair. We want to focus as well on strategies of resistance and on resilience. So we try to look at both the sides of the victims and the side of those who resisted.
Es una tarea que tenemos que trabajar muy fuertemente en la comisión.
Pudimos darnos cuenta de que hay una Colombia que es víctima del silencio.
Nosotros tenemos en el mandato de la Comisión de la Verdad un punto que nos dice que debemos trabajar por los impactos de los excombatientes y las excombatientes y sus familias.
One task we were given by the mandate is to investigate the impact of violence on families. Everybody has a family, even those who were members of terrorist or paramilitary groups. So we listen to them as well.
Pero es parte de lo que tendremos que indagar más a profundidad en la comisión. Tuvieron distintas formas de violencias intrafilas. Ya hay grupos que han venido denunciando.
We know that especially women fighters suffered sexual violence and forced abortions. So we listen to these women fighters. We must understand that they were not only perpetrators but victims at the same time. So I think this aspect of the armed conflict will be an important part of the final report.
que aunque han sido responsables y combatientes, pues muy seguramente también han sido víctimas. Nosotros tendremos que abordar eso y plantearlo también en uno de los acápites del informe final. Pero yo quisiera decirte que tenemos en este momento un contexto político muy difícil, muy complejo. Yo te decía que estamos viviendo un posconflicto que tiene muchas repeticiones del conflicto armado.
But I have to say we're experiencing a difficult situation in this post-conflict period. It is no secret that the political climate in the present government is quite hostile towards the peace process. We know that the political party in power today was against the peace treaty. So we live in a time where the institutions established for the peace process are under criticism and attack. This is also a threat to our work.
Pues la implementación de los acuerdos de paz se han dado muchos incumplimientos, ha habido unos ataques muy fuertes al sistema integral de verdad, justicia y reparación que mencionaba antes, a la JEP, a la Justicia Especial para la Paz.
Although the Truth Commission is a formally independent institution, it depends on government money. And the equation is very simple. Whoever has the money has the power. Our funding was cut by 40% this year. And we believe this is due to a government unwilling to believe in the transitional institutions and their importance for the country.
Y por ejemplo, hemos tenido para este año recorte presupuestal de más del 40% para hacer nuestro trabajo. Bueno, teniendo ese marco, pues creo que
this said, I want to emphasize that the commission is doing its work and that the support we had and still have from the international community, from the EU and from Switzerland, is extremely important for us, not only on a financial but also on a political level. It is this support that enables us to work in the most remote area of the country, not in Medellin, not in Bogota, but in places like Putumayo, in Cauca, and all the distant and sometimes hidden areas where the conflict was intense and bloody. These are the places in our country where the population still lives in fear. Because there are still shootings, there is still violence, but there is also the will to talk, and we are doing everything possible to get to those places.
Hay miedo porque se están repitiendo muchas cosas del conflicto armado, pero también hay muchas ganas de hablar. Hay muchas ganas de contar su verdad a la Comisión de la Verdad, y nosotros estamos haciendo todo nuestro esfuerzo para llegar a esos lugares. Pues es inevitable sentir el miedo. Miedo yo creo que sentimos mucho. El gobierno nos ha ofrecido...
Of course we are afraid. We feel fear. The government has offered us armed protection, but we refused. We enter into an intimate and personal relation with the victim who are surrounded by weapons. So our only safeguard is the support of the population in the places we visit. We are protected by the community.
Nuestra protección real. Nosotros nos estamos moviendo por todo el país, los comisionados y comisionadas escuchando.
When we travel around the country, we speak to the victims. And they are the only protection we get from the affected people in the territories we travel in. We are afraid, yes, but as another woman, a member of Ruta Pacífica de las Mujeres, once said, it is better to live with fear than to not live due to fear.
Como decían algunas mujeres de la Ruta Pacífica, es mejor ser con miedo que dejar de ser por miedo. Totalmente. Nosotros semanalmente estamos fuera de Bogotá, en los territorios, en la región, con la...
So we travel every week and we are embedded in the communities we visit. We have expert groups who work for the commission all over the country, and some of them travel very far.
territorial del Cauca. Salieron desde el Popayán, que es la capital del departamento, a un municipio que queda 10 horas.
For instance, one group made a 20-hour trip from the city of Popayán to a remote community of 800 people far away in the mountains, first by car, then by horse, a community that was completely cut off during the conflict, a place nobody ever went to, not the government, nor any NGOs. But we went there by horse.
Donde el Estado no llega, donde no llega nadie.
I think that this community and others like it are grateful to us. And that's the reason why they protect us. And that's, as I said, the only protection we have.
Parte de lo que la gente agradece, las comunidades agradecen, y yo creo que por eso nos protegen. Esa es nuestra única protección. En este tiempo que llevo como comisionada de la Comisión de la Verdad, he podido aprender mucho.
I've learned a lot from my work in the commission. I believe that the most important lesson is to really listen. It's all about listening in an active and empathetic way. It's about listening in a healing way. And I must say that I'm impressed by the ability of the victims to forgive.
Yo creo que las víctimas me han enseñado su capacidad de perdonar. Yo creo que eso es impresionante, es decir, cuando uno habla con las víctimas y las víctimas dicen, nosotros queremos una verdad que nos repare.
Most of the victims have a clear message. First they want to know the truth, and then they will be able to forgive, to put an end to hate and violence. That's the second lesson I learned from the victims. The ability to forgive and to understand.
Es parte de todo ese aprendizaje que yo creo que va a seguir hasta estos próximos años.
La verdad no está completa.
Yo creo que mi sueño es que este informe sea como un espejo en el que la sociedad colombiana nos miramos.
I really hope that our report will work as a mirror. A mirror for Colombian society. A mirror that will reflect the mistakes we made and the responsibility we have as a society to make sure that this will never happen again. That's our aspiration. To write a report that will not end up as a forgotten document somewhere in the library. We work for a report that will wake us up. It must become a document in which we find what really happened. A document that explains to the victim the causes of the conflict. And we must have, as a society, a deep understanding of the sufferings, of the pain, and all we must do to move forward as a country of peace and reconciliation.
Esos dolores y de lo que tenemos que hacer para avanzar hacia un país en paz y reconciliado.
¿Dónde está la esperanza? ¿Dónde está? Se ha ido del campo, huyó de la ciudad. Se ha quedado la tierra sin poder volar. Y ahora la tenemos que encontrar. Saca de tu alma un poco.
Peace Women Across the Globe. A podcast about women's contribution to peace. This is a production of Podcast Lab in collaboration with the NGO Peace Women Across the Globe. The podcast series Peace Women Across the Globe is available on Spotify and iTunes, on Facebook and the website 1000peacewomen.org. We welcome your comments.